of his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Hey man, turn to page 296. No, not one. Page 296.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one, no, not one. And yet so friend, so meek and lowly. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one, no, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. And not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one.
On the last.
Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one.
Amen.
How many of you can say there's no other friend like Jesus is? Amen. I'm so glad to see you in church tonight on Wednesday evening. Let's open up and have a word of prayer. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for your goodness and grace. I ask for your blessing on the service. And God, we just ask you to come and meet with us tonight in a special way. Lord, I pray that your will would be done in the service. I pray that you remove us out of the way. Lord, that every song, Lord, that's sung tonight, every word that's preached would be for your glory. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, we're so glad to have you this evening. I was hoping, actually, some of you might have seen my uncle here a little bit ago. I was trying to get him to stay, introduce him to a couple of people he remembered, like Brother Kevin and a couple other folks. Then he seen Miss Sarah come, and he said, I'm out of here. And so he had his Camaro here today. If you've seen a cloud of dirt, that was probably my uncle. But no, kidding aside, please continue to pray for him. I know that we've prayed for him for a while. I really would like to see him back in church. I'd really like to see him. You know, I know he's been saved, but he needs to be back in church. And just continue to pray with him. The Lord can still work. And I appreciate that. Appreciate everybody who's a friendly face to him. But we're excited about the service tonight. We'll go ahead and make a few other announcements here in just a bit. Connor, in the meantime, why don't you come back and lead us another song?
Y'all can turn over to page 311, Redeemed, page 311.
How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. On the last, I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am.
All right, let me make a couple of quick announcements here. I appreciate Brother Dana getting the slide ready for the Forrester family that we're going to have coming up. But this next, of course, the 11th will be our next tug here at the church. And we're looking forward to that at 6:30 here at the church. So we'd love to get as many of the young people out. We'll have another good evening here at the church, fun games, and then, of course, something centered around the gospel, too, as well. Amen. And then, of course, on the 27th, we're looking at our next Noisy Bucket and also our Ice Cream Fellowship. And Brother Chuck, thanks for helping us out, buddy. I mean, you always come through for us on Noisy Bucket. He's got his little fire boot, and boy, it makes a difference, amen. So we appreciate that, amen. And so, and that'll be our Ice Cream Fellowship. I enjoyed our Ice Cream Fellowship. We had Boza Donuts and ice cream sandwiches. How many thought that was a blessing, amen? And so that was good. We'll have that again. And then on the 4th, it's going to be the gospel singing here. That's on a Friday evening with the Forrester family. We have known the Forresters for several years. They're just great people. They just love to serve the Lord. Amen. And I know that there'll be an encouragement and a blessing. So mark your calendars on that day. They'll be here at the church that evening. And we're at 6:30, and we're excited to have them kind of be with us. So that's all that I have in the way of announcements. Let's do another song. And this will be our offertory hymn after this. If we can get a couple ushers to come forward, please.
If y'all will turn to page 35 with me, page 35, He is Lord, page 35.
Risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. Can I have two ushers come to the front, please? Brother Robin.
Yes, bless him.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day of giving us, Lord, for allowing all spirit to be here, Lord, and Father God, and what you're able to walk in life stream. Pray that you would please bless my Lord, please bless the lesson. Now to go well, now I'll be able to get something out of it, Lord. Please bless the offering of our Wednesday, Lord. Please unify our hearts, Lord. Please bless it. Lord, we pray this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
right, let's go ahead and take a minute and do our prayer requests. And hey, Mike. We wanted to make sure that everybody can be heard on their prayer requests, mainly for the live stream. All right, so let me get right here. Okay, who has a prayer request they want to share this evening? Miss Olivia?
If you guys could please pray for our brother Will from the food bank. His neck has been killing him in his back. So if you can please keep him in prayer, please.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Chuck?
I need prayer here for my hand here with my thumb. It's really giving me problems. My wrist is aching too, but it's really my thumb joint. It's extremely painful when I try to move it.
Right.
And without my thumb, you don't have a hand.
Yeah. Miss Nancy?
It's not so much a prayer request, but it's a praise. I just want to praise Amen. God that I'm able to attend church again, go back to school. And I just want to thank everybody for the prayers. Yes. They really helped because I'm here today because of it.
So. Amen. That is a praise. Miss Melanie?
I want to put my Uncle Stuart on the prayer list. He has his doctor's appointment for tomorrow for a follow-up for his prostate cancer testing. They're not sure if that's what it is, but they're going more in-depth in his testing tomorrow, and he's really nervous and anxiety-ridden over that. And also, if we could just pray for Roger for strength as he continues working the job and everything.
Okay. Gemma.
So I just want to say thank you guys with the praise. Last week I had asked for guidance and help with a family member.
Yes.
And we're in a lot better of a situation than we were.
Good.
So I just want to keep them on the list for guidance and salvation for Holly. But I do want to give a praise because those prayers definitely helped our relationship.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad to hear that. Miss Sarah?
I don't have a prayer request, but I got a praise.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I want to praise God for his healings on my kidneys.
Amen.
The last blood report I had was here a few days ago, and they said everything was fine. I said, I knew it, because I already had asked the good Lord
That's
to heal
good.
Me. So everything is just fine and dandy now.
Good. Praise
Thank
the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Sorry. Oh, you're good, Miss Nancy.
It's actually on the sheet, but so that way people on the internet can hear. For Brother Norm, he's had a stroke.
Yes.
And then Mrs. Storm, she fell, and she's having shoulder surgery. She's in the hospital still.
Oh, my.
So that way people know on the internet.
Okay. Please.
I had one. I just want to mention my Nana, my mom's mom. She's her health, I think, is declining slowly. So pray for my Nana and her health and everything with that.
June Turner.
I will get to you. Not because of you right now.
A pastor friend of ours, daughter, Heather McLean, she had a baby about a week or so ago, and I know he was born early, but she's still having a lot of problems with her blood pressure, and so she asked that everybody would
Heather
pray.
Or Nico?
Heather is. The baby's doing good, but he came early because of her blood pressure, and they still can't get it down. So she had been home, and I think she's back at the hospital, but trying to get it back down, and medicine and stuff is not working, so just pray for her that they can get that under control.
Wow. Back to Olivia, where it all started.
If you guys could please pray for Carol Stowe. She just had a shoulder replacement, and she's now recovering. So if you guys please pray for her.
Yes.
That means a lot.
And I want to give a little praise. I appreciate Miss Olivia and Miss Linda coming up here singing Sunday morning. That was a blessing. Amen. I really got blessed out of that. You keep that up. Amen. That's right. Mama said amen too. Courtney.
A dear friend of mine, he's like 90, I don't know, he's probably 95. His name is Johnny. He's here in the winter, and his family's in Canada, and he caught COVID, and he was on a ventilator for 3 weeks, and now he's in a rehabilitation center. He's a little scared because no family's here.
Yeah.
But he's the man that found leading me to Christ. So
amen.
Let's pray for him.
What was his name again?
His name is Johnny.
Johnny?
Yanni.
Yanni.
Yeah, Yanni. Yeah.
Certainly keep that in prayer.
I have two unspoken.
Oh, go ahead.
Two unspoken. Unspoken.
Two unspoken?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. If not, let's have a word of prayer. Pray with us, church. Follow along as we ask. Always follow along your prayer sheets. I encourage you to take these with you. Continue to pray for them throughout the week. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for tonight. Thank you for your goodness and grace. And Lord, thank you for this time. And Lord, it is always a special time where we can share our burdens with one another. God, and our desire tonight, first of all, is to give you praise and thanks for, Lord, what you have done. Lord, even mentioned tonight, many praise reports tonight. And Father, we know it's because you worked and you answered prayer, and we thank you for that. But Lord, we come tonight with some fresh burdens on our hearts and our minds. And Lord, some of them we're just continuing to lift up. But Lord, our desire is to lay them at your feet tonight. Lord, we think, as Miss Olivia mentioned, for Brother Will and God, the physical needs and health battles that he's had. And we just want to continue to lift him up. Pray that you would touch his body, Lord, and just guide him through in this time. Lord, we also think about Carol Stowe. We look for the recovery for her and just want to lift her up again in prayer. Pray that you touch her in a special way. Lord, we want to continue to pray for Chuck. Lord, we know the battle for his thumb and his wrist and through his hand. And God, the challenge that has been, excuse me, and I pray that you just be with him. Lord, give him healing, Lord, in that situation. God, we thank you for the praise report that Ms. Nancy is able to be here tonight as she shared. And Lord, we know there was just a major sickness and injury, Lord, that was there. And God, we just thank you for what you've done. And Lord, also, as was mentioned there, we think about Brother Norm, God, who just recently suffered a stroke. And Lord, glad to know that he's back home. But I just pray that you just would be with him, Lord, during this time of recovery. God, we also think of Mrs. Storm tonight, Lord, with the fall and or the surgery coming up, and Lord, and everything going on with her. And Lord, I just pray that you touch her with the hand of the great physician tonight. Lord, give her healing. Lord, help them to find the right treatment and procedures and everything for her. And God, that you would just meet the need there. God, we also think about tonight, as Ms. Melanie mentioned, for her Uncle Stuart, getting ready to come up and have some more testing. And I just pray that you just work already ahead in that situation. Lord, that you would help them to find the right needs, or Lord, that you would meet the need. God, we also think about Roger tonight, Lord, his job and the work that he does. I pray that you just help him to continue to do the work that he's doing, Lord, and just keep a hand upon him. Lord, as Ms. Gemma gave a praise, Lord, for some progress made, Lord, within her family that we've already been praying about. And Lord, also for the salvation of the family member that was mentioned as well. And Father, we just ask if you would continue to work and even use Gemma, Lord, to be a witness and an encouragement to them. Lord, as Sarah mentioned, the praise report for her kidneys, God, for healing that you've done, just received a great report. And Father, as was mentioned there, we give you praise because we know that that was an answer to prayer. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We think about June Turner tonight, Lord, my wife's mother, Lord, just with her health declining continually, Lord, I just pray that you'd be with her and just touch her in a special way tonight. Lord, also, we think about our friend Heather. Lord, just recently had a baby. Lord, a little premature, but God, I just pray for her and the Lord, the blood pressure situation, Lord, to get that under control. We just pray for a special hedge around her. God, as Brother Courtney mentioned, for his friend Yanni, Lord, just an influential man in helping to bring him to Christ. And God, those are always special people in our lives, but Lord, we just pray that you'd be with this man, Lord, battling COVID right now. God, would you touch his body? Would you protect him? Would you give him healing, Lord? Touch him with the hand of the great physician. God, we also think about Obed. Lord mentioned a couple of unspoken requests. And Lord, we know, God, we don't have to know. You know, you have an answer. And I just pray that you would work whatever those needs may be in each of those situations. Lord, we ask you again to be with the service tonight. Many still needs on here, Lord, that we've already been continually praying for. We still think about Brother Tuck, Lord, with the ongoing surgery coming up. Lord, I just pray that you be with him. We think about Brother Gary tonight. Lord, as his recovery from the major heart surgery, God, we're thankful to hear from the improvement that we heard from him this week. And God, I just pray that you'd help him to continue, Lord, and just many, many other needs. I just pray we think about Franchi with the frontal lobe, Lord, situation is there as well. And God, I just pray that you work there. Lord, be with the service tonight. Lord, have your will and your way be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's have one more song and then we'll get into the message this evening.
If y'all can stand one more time with me and turn to page 41, there is a fountain, page 41.
Is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's name, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty sins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his name, and there may I go while as he wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, and there may I go while as he wash all my sins away.
On the last.
Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lie silent in the grave, lie silent in the grave. Endless for this thing, stammering tongue, lie silent in the grave.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Go ahead and remain standing if you can. And go ahead and go over to Matthew chapter 5, Matthew's Gospel chapter 5. I'm just going to read a few verses there. And then, Lord willing, we have some other things that we want to share. And got a very important subject tonight that we want to try to be a help and encouragement to you, or to you. And let me make sure this thing is on here real quick. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading there in verse 38 down through the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. The Bible says there, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whatsoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I want to deal with the subject tonight, church, how to deal with someone who has hurt you. How to deal with someone who has hurt you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this evening. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this time of church. And Father, we just pray, Lord, now for just the next little bit, would you help us to remove all distractions from our minds and our hearts, God, that we can truly just focus on the message and the word at hand. And Father, I do know that this is a subject that everyone has been affected by in some way at some time. And I pray that you would use it, Lord, to strengthen our faith and, Lord, just to know how to respond. And I pray, God, for your blessing upon it. Let it strengthen your children tonight. And if there is one here tonight or even listening via live stream that has never trusted in you as their personal Savior, Lord, I ask that you convict them of their need for salvation. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to ask sort of a rhetorical question as we get into the message this evening, and you don't have to raise your hands, but how many have ever been hurt before? Right? I don't know anybody here tonight that hasn't been. I'm very confident that probably most of you at some point have been hurt, and I'd go as far as to say that you've been hurt multiple times. Would you say that's true? It happens if you spend any time living on this earth. Somebody has hurt you. Maybe it was somebody, maybe it was a close friend, maybe it was a family member, and oftentimes the ones that hurt the most are the ones that generally you didn't expect to be hurt by. Would you think that's accurate sometimes, church? We know that it is. I mean, sometimes you might expect it from maybe a rival coworker who is trying to go for the same job or the same promotion as you, or maybe somebody that you're competing in the class with, and you know you're trying to strive for the best grades, and you would almost expect them to say something about you or criticize your method or criticize you in some way, but it's the ones that are real personal, the ones that really, really hurt. We're dealing with the subject tonight. I think that, again, it's affected all of us here, but oftentimes we don't know how to respond to it. Now, we know what the world will tell us. The world's philosophy and principle is simply to get even, is it not? I mean, if somebody hurts you, then you hurt them. If somebody says something about you, then you say something about them, or you tell them what you think about them. But that's not necessarily what we're concerned about. We as children of God should be concerned about what God says about it. Would you agree with that, friends? I mean, if we are trying and striving to serve the Lord, and sort of like it talks about in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, that we are striving together, right? It's just a principle there. It's not a verse I gave, but we are striving together for the faith of the gospel. I mean, we are in this fight together. And yet, we get wounded sometimes, but we don't know how to deal with it. So that's what our goal is tonight, church, that we want to try to be a help to you. I want to give you another scripture here in 1 Kings chapter 22 and 33. And really, I'm just taking a thought out of this passage. This is not our main text tonight, but I want to give you something here. There's really a great story that we could talk about this passage the whole evening, but I just want to give you one thing, but I'd really love for you to see it here in 1 Kings 22:33. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew near, a bow adventure, and smote the king of Israel between the joints and the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, Turn thy hand and carry me out of the host, and watch this, for I am wounded." He said, "I am wounded." Verse 35 says, "And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot." Now, there's a lot going on in this passage. And again, I don't have time to get into it all, but basically the king ended up getting involved in a war that probably he should not have been involved in. Now, what happens to us a lot of times as Christians is that we do end up in some kind of war that we probably should not have been involved in. And oftentimes when that happens, we end up wounded, do we not? Well, here the king is in this battle. He's in this war. Again, probably shouldn't have been there in the first place. But something happens. Somebody launches an arrow. And if you really think about it, I mean, the armor was really protective and it covered most of the parts of the body. But there was just a slight spot, just a little crack where that arrow could come through. And that just happens to be where that arrow flew in. And it hit the king. And the Bible says that it wounded the king based on the statement that he made, "Hey, take me out of the fight, for I am wounded." Do you know what my concern is tonight for you, church? That we end up in these fights, and maybe you shouldn't have been there, maybe you should not, maybe you were brought into it, it was of no choice, but you end up wounded somehow along the fight, somehow along the battle, in this spiritual warfare that we're in, and what ends up happening is that you withdraw yourself from the fight. You say, "Take me out of the battle, take me out of the war, for I am wounded." Now, it probably was proper for him to go and to take a step away for just a moment to deal with that wound. I don't know that happened from what we see in the scripture, so I can't say 100%, but it perceives to me that all he did was withdraw himself from the battle, but I don't see that there was any effort to try to salvage the king or spare the king or heal the wound. I don't see anywhere where they called in some kind of doctor or somebody tried to help him with that wound. So essentially what happened is that he just bled out and died according to that last verse that we read. So what we see here, church, is we see a man that was involved in a war that he probably shouldn't have been in. Maybe he was drugged into it. Maybe he was coerced. He ended up wounded. Then he withdrew himself from the battle and apparently didn't do nothing about it and ended up dying of his wound. He knew that he was wounded. He knew that he was hurt, but I don't see where anything was done about it. All that happened was it withdrew him from the fight, it withdrew him from the fight, and then it ended up costing him his life. And what I'm afraid is happening to a lot of Christians today is they end up in a fight, they end up in a battle, somehow something happens, they end up wounded, they withdraw themselves from the fight, so now they're not even in the fight, and then that's the end of their spiritual walk with the Lord, if you will. They fall out of church. They get out of church. They don't do nothing about it. Say, "What are you saying, Pastor?" Say, I'm first of all establishing the fact that probably everybody here has been wounded. Now, if we say that, if that statement is true, let me add to that. If we have all been wounded, we have probably all wounded somebody else too, if we're being really honest about it. I can tell you that I have. I've been on the receiving end and on the giving end. I've been sometimes the ones that received arrows, but if I'm being honest with you, church, I've been sometimes the one that launched arrows too. So understand that if we've been wounded, we always focus on how we've been hurt, but we probably, if we want to please the Lord, should also focus on who we have hurt as well. So getting back to our story, we end up wounded, we withdraw ourselves from the fight, and we do nothing about it. And friend, it'll bleed you out spiritually. And there's a lot of people that's fallen out. So there's a great danger. There's a great, great danger when we have been wounded spiritually, emotionally, mentally, however you want to call it, in some way, and then we do nothing about it. Now, let's get back to our main text where we're going to be spending most of our evening where we read. Understand that Christ, we're right in the middle, in the heart of Christ, what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, basically chapters 5 through chapter 7. This is Christ preaching and teaching here. And right in the middle of that, he gives us a very important lesson. And in verse 43, and he says the same statement, "Ye have heard." And what I really like about what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching is that this is what you've been taught. This is what you grew up believing. But I'm telling you that this is what is right. Right? He's saying, "You have heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." You know, what is that? If we live on the principle of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, if somebody wounds our eye, then we take an eye, right? If somebody bashes out a tooth, then we bash out a tooth. That is literally what was believed. That's what they grew up thinking, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So in other words, however you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. Christ is saying that's what you've been taught. But he's also saying, I'm teaching you something better. He's not saying that that's okay. But what he does say is in verse 43, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. In this particular principle here, you've been taught, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. That's what you've been taught. That's what you've been heard. That's probably the world philosophy. However, watch it. But I say unto you, that's let me teach you something better. Let me give you something more. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Christ is literally saying that we as children of God do the exact opposite of what we've been taught. If the world teaches to love your neighbor and hate your enemy, Christ is saying, hey, love your neighbor and love your enemies. Right? Instead of hating your enemies, I'm teaching you to love them. And I'm showing you how to do it. So it gets back to the text here. What do we do when we have been wounded? How do we deal with that? How do we handle that? Well, let's read on. But I say unto you, love your enemies. And watch this. Let me remind you, friend, I know that this sounds simple. And a lot of times you hear a message like this, you say, well, this is what the pastor said. Friend, this is what the Bible is saying. Okay? Is everybody? I'm not telling you what I think. I am literally telling you what the Bible is saying. And what the Bible is saying, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Now, isn't that something? Now, let me ask you a question. Who's been cursed before? Sounds like it's happened, hasn't it, brother? You've been cursed. What does the Bible, what does Jesus say to do about it? Bless them. Bless them. Boy, man, I tell you what, that's tough. Somebody comes up to you and curses you, man. Our natural human sin nature reaction is not to want to bless them back. We want to bless them, all right, with a different kind of language. Yeah. It goes against our nature. The Lord, what did you say, Lord? Did we read that right? Bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you. So now we're taking it to, not only are we supposed to bless them that curse us, now we're supposed to do good to them? Are you kidding me, brother? Lord, is this really what you're asking me to do? That's what he's saying. I don't think the Lord Jesus Christ was joking. He said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute. So there's three specific things that Jesus said to do to people who have wounded you, to people who have done you wrong, to people who have hurt you. Number one was to bless them. Number two was to do good to them. Number three was to pray for them. You know what I find interesting? When you study out the book of Job, and you see that everything that Job went through, I mean, boy, he sure lost a lot, didn't he? I mean, he lost his children, he lost his wealth, he lost his health, he lost everything that he owned, he lost his servants, he apparently lost his friends, and some would even argue he lost his wife. She was still there, but she wasn't very supportive, right? So he lost a lot. But you know, as Job went along, I believe that at first he did have, for the most part, a good attitude. In fact, that's why God picked him to be tested. He said that Joseph was a perfect and upright man, right? He was a just man. He was a godly man. And God was very confident in how Job would respond to the testing and trying and the losses and the suffering that would come into his life. But yet at one point, I do believe that there was some bitterness that was harbored against his friends. His friends was the one that came by and said, Job, essentially, what have you done so horrible for God to send all this judgment upon you? Because when you get to the final chapter of chapter 42, and keep in mind that it's all heartache and trouble up until the very end of the book. to the last chapter, and the Bible says that God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Now, isn't that interesting? God turned it all around, and right after that, you start to see God just pouring out his blessings. I mean, he got double everything, including the children. We mentioned that the other day. He got 10 more on earth, and he had 10 more in heaven. That's double the children, amen? Hey, their soul didn't die out. I mean, their flesh may have died, but now he's got double. He got a double blessing of everything that he had before. But it was not until he prayed for his friends. And what I believe, it's because he probably got a little bitter against them for their accusations against him that were unwarranted. Criticism that was not fair. Saying things to Job that were that they just shouldn't have been saying. And God turned it all around when he prayed for his friend. You know what I think? I'm just trying to help you tonight, church. I think a lot of people end up wounded. They hurt by friends, family, whoever it may be. And you're dealing with a problem right now. You're dealing with a heartache. Have you ever considered that based on what happened in Job's life, that maybe God is not going to turn it around for you until you learn to apply the principle that Christ is teaching here and let it go? And do good to them and bless them and pray for them. Now, let me be honest with you. When you're praying for somebody, it's kind of hard to be bitter against them, isn't it? Would you agree? I'm talking about really praying for them. I don't mean, oh God, they've just fallen out of your will now. I pray that you bring your judgment upon them. That's not what I'm talking about. Now listen, I'm confident that God is a just God. We were talking about the attributes of God. God is a just God. God will do what's right. But the key is God will do what he believes is right, not what you and I think is right. We think that that they deserve for God to just ruin their lives and take everything away that they have, take their family, take their job. And, you know, that's what we see as a just punishment for our injury. God may not see it the same way. God will do right. Don't worry about that. But what I'm saying, friend, I'm talking about really, really praying for somebody. It's really hard to harbor anger and bitterness when you pray for somebody. And protect. You know what I've learned? It's a growth point for you, Christian. It's a spiritual maturity. When you can sincerely pray for somebody who's wounded you and hurt you, and I'm talking about really, really pray for them, like it says here. That was one aspect of what Jesus said to do. Part of it was to bless them. Part of it was to do good to them. Part of it was to pray for them. Now, I'll tell you, church, sometimes it's not easy. I'll admit it. I'm going to share this story. I don't really like to share stories like this, but I'm just going to tell you to give you an example. Several years ago, I had somebody in the church come to us and say that he had all these things that he was upset about, all these things that were against us. And I think I counted it was 18 things, believe it or not. I'll give you an example of some of the things. One of them was, well, you have a lot of pastor friends all over the country. You know a lot of preachers, and you didn't personally take me around to them and introduce me to them so I would have opportunities to preach. That was one of his accusations. I don't know what you want to call it. That was one of the things. There you go, Chuck. That's what it was. But that was one of the things. It was literally a list of 18 things like that, like seriously that petty. And I let him say what he was going to say. Of course, you know one thing that I've learned? Anytime you have conversations like that, I called both of the deacons in with us. By word of every two or three, let every word be established, right? Because I've had people sometimes say, well, this is what Brother Jaime said, but then two or three others can verify, no, that's actually not what was said. Amen? Another situation, and I'm going to come back to that one. Another situation happened. There was a fellow that was drinking in church and singing in the choir, and I had to go to the brother and say, look, brother, we love you, but we can't have you be singing in the choir if you're going to be drinking. Of course, I had Deacon with me again, and he told everybody that I said he couldn't come to church. In fact, I said quite the opposite. I said, we need you in church. What I did say is that we can't have you sing in the choir. But everybody else thought that I said he couldn't come to church, right? let me come back to the first story. After that brother laid into me for a time frame, it was rough. I'm not going to lie to you. It was rough. It was all I could do to keep from saying something. You want to defend yourself because I knew what he was saying was just not true. And at the end of it, you know what I said? Absolutely nothing. During that meeting, the Lord Jesus Christ reminded me, the Holy Spirit of God reminded me that when they were accusing Christ of all these things, being a blasphemer, being Christ was quiet. Sometimes the best response is no response. You don't have to respond to everything, friend. Are you with me? So, I literally said nothing. At this point, as his pastor, I was more concerned. He'd already left the church. I mean, he hadn't officially left the church, but he checked out. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can tell when people check out. They may still be sitting in the pews, Brother Echols, but I can tell when they check out. He had already checked out. So at this point, my concern was not him not leaving our church. He was already doing that. My concern was for him and his young family getting out of church altogether. So if I had spoke up, let me just be honest with you, I had some things that I could have said that would have probably destroyed him. But I chose not to say that. I chose to just have a little bit of grace. Because at this point, I'm thinking about his family. I'm thinking about his children that are not being church if I feel like getting even right here. It's not worth it. So I let him say what he was going to say. Now, right after that meeting was over, we prayed. And I went up in my office and I cried because it hurt. It bothered me. For a family that I'm not even going to get into the stories of the things that we try to do to help this family. Bother, I mean, it crushed me. Considered him a friend. Hurt. What'd you do? I prayed for him. I didn't respond to him out of anger. And I'll tell you something else. This is just here for you right now, Florence Baptist Church. Later on, I heard that him and his family were having trouble. And me and my wife got together and we put a gift in the mail and put it in the mail for his family just to let him know that we were praying for him. Just to let him know that someone who cared and sincerely prayed, like honestly prayed and sincerely felt hurt for the pain that they were experiencing. I didn't sit back there and say, see what you get. I did not. I literally felt the pain of this family. We sent him a gift and didn't sign our name to it because it was irrelevant. I just wanted to know that somebody was praying and that somebody cared. Jesus said to do good to them and to bless them. You know what that was? That was trying to bless them. Say, Pastor, did they deserve that? I never said that they deserved it. That's not what the principle is here. If we do things based on what people deserve, then we won't do anything for anybody. And you wouldn't be saved either. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to stand before you. I'm just a dirty, rotten sinner just like the rest of you, church. But you know what the Bible says? And by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. Not a one of us here deserves salvation. So friend, now do you see what Jesus was trying to teach? Do good to them. Bless them. Pray for them. Friend, that's how the Lord said. Not what I said. That's what the Lord said on how we should respond. When people have hurt us, when people have wounded us, attacked us, whatever you want to call it. Friend, that's how a Christian responds. He goes on, he says a couple of other things just to help him illustrate his thought. You know what I love about the Word of God? If you keep reading and studying the Bible, it will interpret itself for you. You understand that? He goes on to say in verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust. Really, it's a reminder of what we just spoke about just a moment, that God is just, and God sends the rain on the good and the bad, the evil and the good, or you know, the just and the unjust. God is God. Let God be God. Let God do His job. Let's stop trying to help the Lord do His job. Let's do what He's called us to do. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not the publicans the same? Now, I was just meeting with someone just today, talking about the business world. And basically was saying that I have a friend, and he was telling me about how really his business had grown from literally the ground up. But he made one point that reminded me a little bit of this passage here. What he said was that he works with this particular company. And this particular company is in a similar field but doesn't specialize in this. So what this company does is refers his customers and clients back to this guy. And this guy, who does a similar field but not the exact same thing, refers them back to this guy. So essentially, they're kind of scratching each other's backs, right? That's how things work in the business world. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You help me, I'll help you. You send me a referral, I'll send you a referral, right? That's kind of a business transaction. What he's saying is that if you're only good to those who are good to you, that's what the publicans do. That's literally what Christ is talking about. He's talking about the business world. That's what they do. That's not impressive. Friend, it's easy to show love to someone who's shown you love. It's easy to be kind to someone who has been kind to you. It's easy to be good to someone who's been good to you. Oh, but friend, it's godly character. I said it's godly character to be kind to someone who has been unkind to you. It's spiritual maturity to show love and to show grace to someone who doesn't deserve it. Now do you see what we mean? How much of a growth point this is. How much of a picture of spiritual maturity that this is when we simply do what Jesus said to do. Verse 46, if you love them which love you, what reward have you? That's not impressive. You don't get a reward for that. Do not even the publicans the same. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Excuse me, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so. So similar principle. You know, sometimes we go out of our way to greet people. Now let me say something, church. I want to help you, but I also want you to keep something in mind. Every church that I've ever been to perceives themselves to be friendly. And the reality is generally that's true to themselves. They're friendly amongst themselves. They're friendly to the people they know. But not necessarily to new people. Or not necessarily to people they don't know. Christ is teaching again a similar concept, but in a different way to illustrate it. We as a church should be friendly and kind to everyone. Not just the people that we've been going to church with for years. I don't care if they've been here one time or 1,000 times. It makes no difference, friend. We ought to be kind, we ought to be just as kind. You know, it speaks about things like this in the book of James, about offering a good seat to the man who comes in and gay apparel, in other words, nice apparel, goodly apparel, and you offer him the good place to sit. Here, let me get you a good seat right up front. This is a nice, comfortable seat right here. Of course, I'm probably not talking about a Baptist church because nobody wants to sit on the front row. The good seat would be back there, right? Either way, whatever your perception is of the good seat, let me offer you the good seat, and then someone comes in that you're a little bit, I don't know about them. Oh, well, you can squeeze in over there in the corner. It's just a principle. It's just a thought. All I'm saying, friend, is that let's not fall into the trap that we're a friendly church unless we're actually truly are friendly. And we ought to have what Jesus said. Hey, salute everyone. Greet everyone. Be kind to everyone. Not just the ones that you know. It's easy to walk up in church and ask somebody how their week has been when you know them. How about you go and talk to somebody who you don't know? How about you go and talk to somebody who you don't know that well? Amen? Get to know them. Find out about and make an investment in their life. Invite them out for a cup of coffee. I don't know. Whatever it is that you want to do. All I'm saying, friend, reach out. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even publicans so. Verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, can we literally be perfect? No, we cannot. Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when we read that word perfect, it's not talking about a literal perfection. Otherwise, that would contradict other scriptures. So we know that that's not true. Understanding the principle of hermeneutics is understanding that one scripture is not going to contradict itself against another scripture. And if there's a contradiction, the contradiction lies here, not within the Word of God. So what we are talking about when the Bible speaks about a Christian being perfect, it's spiritual maturity. We're talking about being spiritual. That's literally what we're talking about. We can't be perfect. I've already lost that a long time ago. So we cannot be perfect. The Lord knows we can't be perfect. But it is talking about spiritual maturity. And the Lord is saying, hey, you need to be spiritually mature. So I'm a young Christian. That's great. Now you got something to go for. Some of us have been in church for years and we're still not spiritually mature. But that's what the Lord is telling us that we should do. I'm going to give you one more text and I'm about through this evening. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? You know what the Bible is telling us is that, you know, I believe there's some people in this church, I believe there's people that I've met in life, that man, they're just, you can't hardly break them. They're strong people. I mean, they got a strong spirit. They get injured, they get hurt, they have problems in life, they still keep going on. So when we're talking about his infirmity, that's sort of like a literal injury or a wound, not in an emotional wound, okay? Like literal injury or sickness. The spirit of man can, so people get hurt, they get hurt in that way, but their spirit, because they have a striving spirit to move forward, they just keep pressing on. But then it takes it to a different level when it says a wounded spirit. So here it's talking about the strength of the spirit of a man keeps him pressing on, but then when you wound his spirit, who can bear? Who can deal with that? Who cannot let it affect them? A wounded spirit. Who can bear? And my fear is this, church, just like we started off reading about that king who said, I am wounded. And he withdrew himself and ended up costing him his life. That there's people walking around churches today, not just here, but across America, wounded, doing nothing about it. Who can bear it? In other words, eventually, it's going to overtake you. Eventually, it will defeat you if it's not dealt with. Now, the substance of the message tonight was how to deal with it. But we started off by giving you an example of what can happen, spiritually speaking, and then ending with this thought here, a wounded spirit, who can bear? It's extremely difficult. Eventually, it will kill you, and you will bleed out, spiritually speaking, if it is not dealt with. Now, if you receive a wound, you deal with it. I mean, if you accidentally cut yourself, you deal with it. I mean, if it's small enough, you know, you put a Band-Aid on it, and you go on. If it's big enough, you go, and you get some stitches put in. If it's really big, you might need surgery. I don't know. But you're not just, what happens if it just keeps bleeding and you do nothing? Same thing that happened to the king. You'll bleed out and die. And don't you realize tonight that some of you are walking around wounded tonight, not dealing with this. And what you don't realize is that under that armor, you think, well, I'm doing good. We talked a little bit about the spiritual armor of God Sunday morning. I'm doing good, but on the inside, you're bleeding out. One of the most dangerous injuries a person can receive is internal bleeding because they don't know it's there. And it kills you from the inside. And that's exactly what's happening to a lot of Christians today. You're bleeding on the inside because you got a wound a long time ago. You've tried to cover it up and do nothing about it, but yet you're still bleeding on the inside and not dealt with it. And what you need to do is you need to take that to the Lord first. Give it to God. And say, God, I can't say I don't know what to do because I was just given something from the Bible tonight on how to deal with it. But Lord, I sure do need your help. Because if not, my friend, you're going to bleed out from the inside. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. well aware this is a little different kind of message for Wednesday night. But I'm even more aware that this is what God wanted. And as the pianist plays tonight, friend, there's some Christians tonight that are wounded. Something hurt you. You're bleeding. You're hurt. Friend, it's time to get down and get alone before God and give it to Him. The Bible has given us clear instructions. The Lord Jesus Christ told us exactly what we need to do. Friend, if we don't deal with it, it'll kill us spiritually. Say, well, I'll never get out. It'll never be. Friend, I know great men and women of God, preachers, pastors, evangelists, Sunday school teachers, pastors' wives, friend, not in church serving the Lord anymore because they got wounded somewhere along the fight and did nothing. And that wound turned to anger and to bitterness and it ate them up and killed them from the inside. And now they're not even in the fight. Don't you realize that's exactly what the devil wants out of you, Christian? He wants you hurt. He wants you focusing on how you've been done wrong. Or as I said, maybe you did some wounding yourself. If you did, you ought to go to that person, make it right. The book of Matthew gives us other instructions on that too. We don't have time to get into all of that, friend. Tonight, what to do when you've been wounded? It's affected all of us. I don't mean to sound negative. If you're not wounded right now, praise God. But hold on to this because you'll be wounded real soon. The devil will make sure of it. It's a matter of what you're going to do about it. Listen, wounds come. But you don't have to let it bleed you out. You don't have to harbor the bitterness. You don't have to harbor anger. As a child of God, the Lord told us what we need to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here tonight and you'll say, Pastor, if I was to die today, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I've ever been saved by the grace of God. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Anybody? Pastor, if I was to die today, I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Let me ask this question. Say, Pastor, I've been wounded. I've been wounded and God spoke to my heart tonight. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Thank you, I see those hands. Thank you, I see those hands. Don't be ashamed. I'm just going to pray for you. Thank you, you may put it down. Anybody else? Would you let us pray for you? Pastor, I've been wounded. I've been hurt. Would you pray for me? Thank you, I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm going to pray. Thank you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Let's go to God in prayer together, would you? Lord, we love you. Thank you again for your goodness and grace. And Lord, I'm well aware that you put this message in our heart and our mind tonight. Lord, I really have no idea what for. But God, somebody tonight needed some help. God, I pray that your Spirit spoke to them. Several lifted their hands tonight. Lord, I'm not even sure I could see them all. But God, you did. Lord, they've been wounded. They've been hurt. And God, I can relate to them. Lord, they've got a special need tonight. Lord, we've received some clear instruction tonight from the Word of God on what to do. I pray that you'd help them. Lord, I know it's not easy. I know that it's difficult, but God, we know that it's right. We know is what you have called us to do, commanded us to do. And Lord, especially for those that lifted their hands tonight and acknowledged their wound, Father, would you touch them? Lord, would you help them to get healing? Lord, let them bring it to you so that you can start to heal that wound. Lord, I'm well aware of the fact that sometimes wounds, it takes time. But Lord, you can heal. God, I pray that you touch him in a special way. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that was able to be here tonight. Thank you for those able to tune in via our live stream. Lord, we just pray for your blessing upon everything tonight that's been said and done. We wish it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church. God bless you. So glad to have everybody here tonight.